Hey guys, live from Los Angeles, it's the CAGcast with Thorbon.
Hello.
And instead of Wombat. Sorry, Wombat. So here we are. It's day zero?
Zero, I believe, is the name of this day.
Yesterday was negative one, mm-hmm. And today is day zero. So we can talk about the things that we did yesterday, and we did a few things today as well. So both Thorbon and Shipwreck attended the Microsoft press conference. I couldn't get on an earlier flight. That would have killed me. But I would like to hear about it. Who wants to go first? Well, Thorbon does.
Well, they purchased Double Fine. And that was pretty big news.
I missed that.
Yep, they purchased Double Fine, which I'm not too surprised about because it's a studio that's in San Francisco, one of like the most expensive places in the world, and they've been making indie games and doing Kickstarters and all this, so it made sense.
They're probably spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to raise money to make games than actually they want to be making games, think, so it probably made a lot of sense.
Yeah, also like pretty much every single game they make has some different publisher. I think their last one will probably be Rad with Bandai Namco, so. And then they showed their Psychonauts 2, and that's still coming to PS4 and everything, but it'll be an Xbox Game Pass game, which is interesting for the people who backed it. That's one thing I noticed is a lot of these games are games that are on Xbox Game Pass day one that people gave money for to back.
Right. How do they feel?
Which kind of sucks for them. But
right.
Well, they get to own it.
Digital code, yeah. But.
Well, yeah, but if it's Game Pass,
yeah,
then it goes away when you don't subscribe to it.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. You're saying, oh, I'm supporting this indie game by giving them money before this game is even made, but they're also talking to a huge company and making deals that we don't really know about. I can see why.
All part of the fun of Kickstarter. I
mean, right. That's
what you're signing up for.
Yeah, you have to be prepared to be disappointed when you back something on Kickstarter.
And they showed their streaming service, iXCloud, or what is it?
XCloud.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
Yes.
Let's put X
short
in front of it.
For Xbox Cloud.
Yeah. I still don't understand the future of streaming when, you know, later on at the Bethesda conference, we could barely get a connection, but you're supposed to be able to stream all this stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's data is transferring data, fat data pipes over the air is problem still, it seems. In some parts of the country still, many parts of the country don't have great internet still in America.
Yeah, most, pretty much everywhere.
But I think these guys are just realizing it's just a matter of time before it does become available, even if it's 10 years from now, might as well start working on it now. I mean,
kind of like YouTube, I guess. Like YouTube was 2006.
Well, maybe more like Justin TV, like the guy with the camera on his head. Yeah. He's like, I know there's something here. I'm not quite sure what it is. Let's just start it and maybe somebody will buy us. No, I don't know. All right. What else was exciting at the Microsoft conference?
They showed the Elite Series 2 controller, which had tighter thumb grips. You could adjust them and you can adjust the triggers if you want shorter trigger buttons or longer trigger buttons. And
I did all this.
Yeah, we have that on our current one, though. What's new?
I played with one of these. Oh,
but
it's new.
But I can adjust the triggers. No?
So you can adjust the triggers one setting, I think, now. Now there's three settings to it.
Uh-huh.
And the analog sticks, you can pop off the tops, and there's a little screw underneath there now that you can twist to adjust how stiff the sticks are.
Right.
It felt very similar to the current one.
And it's $30 more? $180, or he said?
$30
more, yeah.
You're supposed to be the math guy.
I am the math guy. It didn't make sense to me that it's that much more.
Yeah, what am I getting for my $30? Like, what's the new feature?
The competition, though, their controllers are usually $200 or $300, though, so.
I know, but
I think they also added
they must have been.
Yeah,
Bluetooth.
Okay.
I couldn't really feel that.
Right.
So it didn't stick with my memory. But, it seems like a good controller. I know some people have issues with theirs, the current Elite controllers.
Mine seems to be okay.
Mine's good, so I feel bad if people have issues with it. I would suggest don't buy the $180 version if you have an issue.
If you're not satisfied with the $150, for sure.
They showed Cyberpunk 2077, and Keanu Reeves appeared at the end of the trailer. That was the biggest pop of the entire conference, was seeing Keanu Reeves. Sure. And then smoke and light comes out, and there he is, you know. And that was pretty good pop, I have to say. Okay. That was a really good
surprise. Was that like the biggest reaction you've ever seen at a conference like that?
No, I'd say the 2016 PS4 one got bigger reaction.
Oh, with the trading
with Hideo Kojima and Resident Evil 2 got a big pop last year, things like that. But
this was the first time I've seen a standing ovation.
Really?
Yes. Okay. This is the first one that I've been in where
a standing ovation. People love him.
I mean, the Beatles coming out was big when that for Beatles Rock Band
was. It wasn't just Paul?
No, it was Paul and Ringo and Yoko.
All of them came out?
Yeah.
I thought it was just Paul in my mind. Okay.
No, they were there, and it was a big deal back then, but I definitely don't remember a standing ovation ever happening at any of these. Yeah.
He's so beloved. Like, all these, you know. Yeah.
And he's in the game. It's not just he was here and walked out on the stage to say hi. He's in the game. So
yeah, he's at the level in his career like Bill Murray and Tom Hanks, where he's built up enough credit where like he doesn't seem like a douchebag, and he rides the subway and things like that.
Yeah, I love watching all those videos about him on the internet. Yeah. How he's a regular guy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he did a video game. I guess he wanted to do one. I mean,
why not?
Why not? Yeah. Cool.
I think the biggest thing Microsoft showed was like last year they bought all those studios and they said they're going to make a commitment to making more exclusive games.
Because they forgot to do that.
Because they forgot to make games for their devices.
Right.
And it was very clear that they were serious about that, because the quality and quantity of – you can call them exclusives if you want. I know people get upset because they're like, oh, we can play them on PC and you can play them on Xbox. Microsoft doesn't care where you play them at, but they look much higher quality than the ones we've been getting here in the past few years. Which, not to say they weren't fun, like Crackdown 3 is fun, ReCore was fun, but when you compare them to what Sony's
not Spider-Man,
right? It wasn't Spider-Man. It wasn't Dinosaur Game with the girl.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, the game that has the terrible name that I cannot ever remember.
Really?
Yeah, that's a bad name. Horizon Zero Dawn is a bad name.
I remember it only because I played like 80 hours of it. But
as long as it's not a Japanese game, I'm fine. I mean, Japanese name, I'm fine.
Right.
It's just like Ghost of Tsushima Mama or whatever.
That's what it is. Actually, you got it right on the first try. What else we have at the Xbox conference?
So, I mean, they had
A lot of games.
They showed it was 60-something games. 34 of them were on Games Pass, which was very clearly what they wanted to pimp out at this one.
The ultimate Game Pass.
Yes.
Where you get to play PC games and Xbox games and have Xbox Live Gold for $15 a month. And, but yeah, a lot of people were confused, and I was somewhat confused because it showed up in the morning before the actual press conference. There was this deal for 3 months of Ultimate Game Pass for $20.
At Best Buy, right? It was listed?
Buy and Amazon. And people were buying multiples because they're greedy, and it turned out it was just introductory price, and if you enter more than one...
Doesn't work. Right. And then they had the deal...
With customer service, and a few people said just contact customer service, and they'll give you your
money back. But then they had an offer online where you could, for $1, you could extend... You could get Game Ultimate for whatever you had left remaining on your Gold subscription, and everybody was taking advantage of that. I know I'm good to go for a while now. Anything else at Xbox?
I mean, there was a lot of good-looking games.
Good.
They had Gears 5. There were some new modes to that. They didn't show much of the game, actually, during the press conference, but it definitely was playable at the event I was at this morning. The Ninja Theory game, Bleeding Edge, that looks like something you'll enjoy, GP.
Okay.
It's got the...
4v4.
Yeah, 4v4... but Ninja Theory style combat with Overwatch style characters. That was definitely the longest line to play that at the Xbox event. And I mistakenly didn't get in line for that early because it was very short and I could have gotten in line, but I got in line for Doom Eternal because that line was very short as well. But I did not realize the Doom Eternal demo was taking people like 30 to 45 minutes to complete.
Awesome.
Yes. Ooh, people do not give up when they're playing those demos.
I do.
I mean, one of the guys, I don't care if you're good or bad at games. It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Have fun playing them. But watching somebody play and die like 15, like legitimately 15 times over the course of a demo, like in the same like spots.
Right.
It's just like, all right, maybe you've seen what you need to see here. And
right. Pretend there's a guy wait. There's multiple people waiting behind you to play and they're all watching you. And you know, it's like if you suck at golf, you're fucking it up for the people who are playing behind you.
Yeah, let me play through real quick. Which literally happened. Like, in front of, like, so there was one guy, and again, not to crap on this guy at all, but he was playing it, he was pretty far along, and then the game crashed on him, which is what happens at these events. Nothing new there. It's amazing that they have stable builds, and this doesn't happen constantly to begin with. But then instead of being like, okay, that was good.
I played enough.
He legitimately had been playing for like a half hour at this point. No, start over from the beginning. And then I came in like after he'd restarted. I finished my playthrough before he had gone through this thing twice.
Right. If I was behind him, I would have said something. Like,
I kind of wish the demos were like all mandatory times for 15 minutes.
Of course.
That's all you need. You don't need.
Just you got 15 minutes.
15 minutes is exactly. That's it. If you can't finish 15 minutes.
I'll go to like PAX South and it's just like, okay, we got the timer on for 45 minutes for Zelda. And it's like,
it's so unfair.
Everyone's
going to
play Zelda for 45 minutes. It's just.
It's not. It's just, come on. Yeah. We're all going to get the game anyway if we like it.
You just need a taste.
Yeah, just needed to, exactly. totally.
But so we went to the Bethesda.
We did. I'm grateful that we get invitations to everything, but it's like the logistics on some of these events are just not thought out well. And you know, do them every year too, and everybody's doing their own events, so you should be able to see what works and what doesn't. And I don't know, like telling you to show up there at like, what time did they say to show up?
It was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours before it started.
And like, there's just nothing, you know, they had nothing to do there.
When you say that, you expect there to be
things to
do.
Some food of anything.
The thing is the year before they had a lot of food and a lot of drinks and game demos.
Something to do.
If you wanted to wait in line and stuff like that.
Shade also counts as something to do.
After the event. You could play Doom Eternal after the event, but there's no way anybody got to play Doom Eternal because it had been the same demo that I played this morning where I had to wait 45 minutes for it, and this would have been so many people trying to play.
Yeah, so it was just a lot of waiting, and then the actual conference was very long as well, which we'll talk about right now.
Yeah, Fallout 76, they're fixing it. Putting in all the things that people complained about.
And Battle Royale.
And
NPCs.
It's on sale, and a couple people tweeted at video game deals, and I just didn't reply because I don't want to make people. I don't know. I'm just
Is
like.
Is it controversial?
No, I bought it, and I paid the $160 for the whatever.
Okay.
And then I played it for an hour and was like, I'll go to something else.
But maybe it's good now. That's what they're saying.
Maybe, but.
You've invested. Just not the time.
I'd rather point people at other things.
It seems like they have not given up, right?
That's
like,
good.
Yeah.
It would be bad if they just trashed it and then.
And they admitted. Todd Howard was like, "Hey, you know, we took a lot of well-deserved criticism." Like,
I'm excited to try it again because I mean, the big reason Mrs. Shipwreck and I stopped playing it because there literally was nothing to do but look through dead people's houses. And that was not doing it for her.
Right, right.
She needed some more of a hook.
Aussie could tell, like, they've gone through a lot of bad press and stuff this last year because it was all about, we make these games for the players, and it's all about and they show highlights, and they show the employees, and all this stuff.
And to just highlight that the conference was too long, they closed with another montage of the employees telling you how all the games are for you, but nobody stuck around to watch it because as soon as the guy got off the stage, everybody bolted for the door because
they want to play Doom Eternal.
They wanted to play games. They just wanted to get the fuck out of there too because they've been sitting there for at least, you know, 2.5 hours, right? At least. Anyway,
at least before the press conference, Shipwreck got to take a photo of himself and with all of us, and it showed up on the screen.
That was a highlight for sure.
It was on the live stream. Wombat took a picture of him on his TV.
That's so funny. I mean, it gave us something to do because there was literally nothing to do.
So back to Doom Eternal, since I did play it and I didn't talk about the game.
By the way, this is not bitching. This is constructive criticism for next year, just to make things better for next year.
Doom Eternal is very fun. It is very satisfying to go around and have all those overpowered weapons, blow up all those demons. The way that you get around the levels and the movement it's great. It seems like it's ready to go. There's nothing I saw that was like, oh, this should just be a demo for a little bit here. I think
it comes out in November, right?
Yeah, it's pretty far along, I would say, that they have plenty of time to get everything just right with it, but I think Doom Eternal is going to be good.
Okay, good.
Controversial opinion.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Ghostwire looked good.
Yep, Ghostwire Tokyo.
Thematically, it looked... it was basically Left Behind.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
I got a text from Mrs. Cheapy saying, hey, this Ghost Line game looks neat.
Yeah,
Ghost Wire.
Wire, line, you know, you say wire.
Right.
I say line.
I can't tell, couldn't really gather much of what the gameplay was from that, but.
Right. But the Japanese developer was really cute. Yeah. He got on stage and was dancing around.
She's an internet darling.
Yep.
Now,
yep. So. She's the next Keanu Reeves.
Anything else that Bethesda?
A lot of people.
A lot of Elder Scrolls Online talk. A lot of Elder Scrolls Blades talk. A lot of their legacy games where they just keep patching it and adding things and this and that.
About a half an hour worth of stuff that didn't need to be mentioned.
Elder Scrolls card game. A lot of Elder Scrolls. A lot of Dragon talk. A lot of things like that.
A lot of interruptions from the crowd, from people just shouting out and.
Those were probably Bethesda employees.
Some were just obnoxious people.
Yeah, they had a general.
Well, there were people that were like, "Oh, it's Billy,
yeah."
Basically, I know someone who works at Bethesda, and she said, "EA like treats it as like work. So like if you go to E3 like as a vacation or something, it's like getting experience and things like that."
So you can, if you show up at the press conference, you...
No, like if you, just in general, just if you go to E3 and they treat it like a business trip more than if you decide to go to E3 and do that, you know?
Right.
So then they get them tickets and then...
Yeah, you could tell, like, because people were cheering about, like, random shit.
Right, like a word...
Way too excited.
A word with nothing, like no meaning whatsoever would show up on screen and people were cheering for it. And it's just like...
Right.
All right,
we're not heavily interested in those games
for sure
and things like that
for sure.
I'm lukewarm on dragons.
Yeah.
I can take or leave a dragon, I guess.
Right. I'm just a big fan of not sitting in a chair for two and a half, 3 hours. That's my big
That press conference did remind me of when you guys would talk about Sony conferences like back in 2010, where they would talk about 3D televisions and their new TV show and 3D displays and their projected marketings and
sure charts. They'd put charts up and stuff about financials. Yes, that was definitely a thing that happened.
They talked about their Orion streaming engine or whatever.
Oh, Bethesda. Yeah. That was definitely like I said, about 30 minutes worth of stuff that didn't need to be mentioned.
Or highlighted elsewhere.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Is there anything else from Bethesda that we need to touch on?
No, I don't think so. Not anything too terribly pressing there. So I did go to that Xbox showcase this morning, which is where you can play all the Xbox games. They're in their own little theater again. I only played two things. I played
Doom Eternal for half an hour to play Doom Eternal.
And then I played a game called Creature in the Well.
Okay.
Which is a indie game where it's a combination of action RPG, pinball mechanics.
Ooh. You got my interest.
Yeah, I see a big smile.
And a little bit of like, is it like shmup style
is
patterns.
It like that Yuki's Island Express?
No. So okay. There's no flippers. Oh, it's okay. It's not a true pinball game, but it uses like pinball style physics.
Okay.
So you are an engineer. You look like a robot guy. It's overhead, and you get different weapons, swords and pipes and stuff like that. There was only two weapons in the demo. It was a very respectful of my time demo of like 10 to 15 minutes. So these little balls are like balls of energy, and they have different attributes basically. There's like fire ones, electrical ones, and you can hit the balls, and you basically get to hit switches with them and defeat enemies type of things with them, solve puzzles with them, and then move through the levels as you like build up enough energy with these balls.
So. Say balls again.
Balls.
Fantastic.
So I'm very excited to play the full version of that.
Right, okay. Creatures of the Well?
It looks pretty
Creature
cool.
in the Well. There's like this big creature that's trying to constantly get to you.
That looks like
different levels.
Fun. That looks like really and it's the art style too.
Yeah, and then there's like so cool. The reason I say it somewhat has like shmup mechanics too is because like there's some things that'll like shoot in laser patterns, so you have to move your character around and time up, charge up your shots, and then you can aim them kind of like twin stick style and shoot the balls at the things as they're rotating around. It's got a lot going for it. It's pretty cool.
Fantastic. Is that on Game Pass?
I don't remember. Maybe.
It's on Switch, apparently.
Thank you. That was a left-handed snap, by the way. That's not easy. Thanks. Most people cannot snap with both hands. All right. I made that up, apparently. That was Thor's feet, by the way.
Then we went, we got our badges. And while we got our badges, we checked out the E3 show merch.
The spinoff area. They have a main area and a spinoff area.
Yes, we checked out both. But we found a CAG exclusive at the first one. We secured a CAG exclusive.
It was very weird. Like we were just looking over the stuff, and we were thinking like, oh, maybe we should buy something that we could give away on at video game deals. Thorbon's shaking his head like I'm a crazy person. So we took.
All right, you want to make?
Hold on. You got to hear what happens first. You got to hear the story, then save that thought. Okay. So we walk away. We're like, all right. We were thinking about it. We decided to go check out the much bigger merch store. But before we left, the guy said, "Oh, and we have these pizza cutters. They're an exclusive for our little section over here, and they're $5." And Shipwreck commented that seemed pretty cheap, especially because they had like a plush dinosaur that was really small for $20. Anyway, so we just walked away without buying anything. And as we're walking away, Ship's like, that pizza cutter for $5 might be something that Thor could give away. People would be kind of interested in it. And I was like, yeah, that's actually like a good point. And actually, like, I wonder, like, it's only $5. We could maybe have all of the pizza cutters, depending on how many they actually made for the show. So we went to the other merch store and I bought some shit for Ty and Chima.
Confirmed, no pizza cutters.
No pizza cutters were there. And then we came back, and I'm like, we went back to the spinoff store, and I'm like, you know, I've been thinking about those pizza cutters. Think I'm gonna buy some. And like, well, how many do you want? And I don't know what I said. How many you got? Yeah. I think I could buy all of them. And then I, you know, cornered the market on the E3 pizza cutters, and they only had like 20 something. So for about $100, we've got all the pizza cutters.
You can tell GPD is well off. When he's buying,
this is marketing. Think about the marketing. What kind of marketing can you get for $100? What? Tell me what.
I got a lot of marketing for $0 giving away a napkin last night. So
okay, but think about what you're going to get for this, though.
All right. Well, we'll see what
this. If it's 100 times, is it 100 times better?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, it's more fun, you have to admit. No, it's not more fun? It's not more fun. It's funny.
I'm willing to bet the napkin will get more retweets than the
people. How many retweets did you get on that napkin?
Let me check.
It doesn't have to be exact. Ballpark.
Last time I checked, it was 1.1 thousand.
Okay, but now here's the problem. You're controlling the message, so you're going to be tweeting it out about these pizza cutters, but you don't want the pizza cutter tweets to succeed. And I feel like you
why
might.
Why would I not want to be successful?
Because you want to show that the napkin was better.
No,
you're down on the pizza cutters.
I'm not.
Okay, good. That's good to hear.
If the pizza cutter got 20,000,
you'd be happy.
Tweets, I would be happy.
Even okay, and if I got, what if I got 1.2 thousand.
We've got 112 likes of the you presenting Major Nelson with a pizza cutter.
And then after I walked out with all the pizza cutters, we ran into Major Nelson almost immediately, and I stopped him and said hi, and then I made a grand presentation of the pizza cutter.
I think maybe with the image, I'll include Major Nelson getting.
Okay, excellent, and excellent. I hope he doesn't have a problem with that.
I got 1,150.
He won't have a problem with that. Okay. He's still tweeting about the pizza.
Oh, is he? Okay, good.
Right. Yeah. The napkin got 1,155.
Okay.
So we'll see. Good. We'll see what gets better.
So feel free to.
And I'm not going to poo-poo.
Okay,
it
good. No, I was just joking when I said that, but
because
I know you want success is the most important thing. Feel free to give away as many or as you like.
Okay.
It's up to you. You decide.
Well, you're shipping them, so.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. Don't give away. If I'm shipping them, don't give away more than five, I would say.
I was going to give away five.
Okay, perfect. And if you run into me at E3, feel free to ask me for a pizza cutter and maybe I will bless you with one.
Are you really going to carry those around all E3?
I could get somebody's address and mail it to them. There may be some, if Shipwreck's bringing a bag, I could throw some in there.
They're pocket sized.
If you wanted to bring, if you have a bag, you feel free to bring some. It's it's all for fun.
We have a bandolier. If we want to make a bandolier of E3 pizza cutters.
It was all fun. The people who were working at
Is security going to let you bring in a pizza cutter?
Well, they're selling. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know about that. If you're bringing, I asked Shipwreck that about half an hour ago, and his thought was if you brought one in, it would be okay. If you're starting bringing in multiple, it's good. I don't know. Trust me. I told
Mrs. We'll check the list.
Security is always.
I know.
A weird issue with something. Or to get our badges this year, I had to show my email for my barcode three times.
What?
Yeah. It was like, why are you here? Media badge pickup. Okay, can I see your email? All right, hold on. Here's my email. Okay, they're going to ask you again on the top of the stairs.
That's fine. I'm fine with this. I'm perfectly fine with all this.
It's good. Got to keep out the riffraffs.
Right.
People trying to buy pizza cutters. Oh, and then when we came back, the first thing we did is we asked the guy, did anybody buy any pizza cutters?
Right.
And he said no. So
we might have just saved everybody if they'd have been selling these pizza cutters during normal business hours.
You mean they would have got kicked out by security?
No, I mean people could have been wielding these things on the show floor.
Right. We saved them. Anyway, the people working the merch booth were really nice, so it was kind of like a whole fun thing that we had. Anyway, that's the pizza cutter experience story. What else? Is that it? No, we had two appointments today.
We did. We went and checked out Lucid Sound, their latest headsets.
Yep.
They're good. I liked all of the ones that I tried on. We both use the, what is it, the LS20?
Currently, yeah.
Yeah. And that one is now far in the rearview mirror for them.
Yeah, that's like a dinosaur to them. Don't worry, Thor, I asked them for giveaway stuff.
Okay.
I traded them three pizza cutters for a, no. But yeah, I told them about the situation.
Yeah, but they have the ones that integrate with Xbox.
Directly,
you can,
yeah.
You can directly integrate and sign.
Proprietary.
Yeah, assigned to your gamer tag. You can turn your Xbox on and off with them, which is pretty cool. They have that new cooling foam.
Yes.
That you stick it on your head and you can actually feel that your ears are.
Gets colder. Maybe it's just burning your ears with like some sort of like Vicks vapor rub. Right. No, it felt like cooling. Didn't feel like burning. There's definitely a difference.
Probably just absorbs the heat from around your head.
That too, they said.
That's what it was. It's a cooling gel that absorbs the heat and dissipates it out the back.
They have a nice lineup of controllers and headsets. I mean, and I like the ones that are amplified and have the voice monitoring. Those are pretty cool. Nice collection of stuff. And then we had an appointment with Games.
GAEMS.
Oh, I got it.
You know what that stands for?
Chinese company?
No. The opposite of that.
Chinese manufacturing.
I don't know what the opposite of that means, by the way.
Right. Chinese manufacturing, whatever it is there. But
I forgot what it stands for.
Gaming and Entertainment Mobile Systems?
Could be. Yeah, these are the guys that build the monitors into boxes, portable
briefcases for your consoles.
They're very popular for the military. Guys who are serving in the military, they bring them overseas and play Xbox, basically. That was a very interesting appointment. We met, I guess, like the founder of the company was giving the demo.
Was he in the military and made his own thing? Is that what
it wasn't? No, but he said he was in the military. Yeah. But that wasn't the inspiration. Oh, okay. It was somebody asked him to basically build a monitor in a box for some project.
Yeah, it was a guy who, one of his friends that actually races cars, that was using Forza as a tool.
Gotcha.
So when he was going around and traveling to do that,
he wanted to practice in his hotel. They have like...
Yeah, it's probably good for basketball players.
Wrestlers. That's it. It's exactly it.
It's exactly
that. Guess how many LeBron James owns 20. That he bought himself?
One for everybody on the team?
He owns 40. He said 40, 42. 42 that he bought. And you can like customize them and all that. That's exactly who buys them. It's like people like that are traveling all the time. The owner of the company is a real character, and he
very passionate,
like it was easy to be inspired by his passion. He seemed like you're really proud of his product, and like if you have a problem with it, they're gonna take care of it. It basically sounded like it's like you're not gonna have a problem, but if you do, like,
well, how pricey are they?
Not ridiculously pricey. I think the current one is like $299 for the lowest one. I think that's right. And then...
And you get the monitor in it. And
the monitor, yeah.
You just get the monitor and you put the console on.
Yeah. So that's the base version. I forget what that one was called. I'm not even... Not the Vanguard. The Vanguard is the top-of-the-line one, right? There was three different names. They all, to me, sounded very similar.
Right.
There's a lower tier, a middle tier, and then the
crazy one,
crazy 24-inch version that they put this super computer in, and it looked like it would be.
It weighs 50 pounds.
It's the most portable, non-portable setup that you could buy.
Right. It's for pro streamers, basically. Yeah. Like Dr. Disrespect would have this and bring it with him when he comes to E3 or his intern.
So. They were cool stuff, though. I mean, I don't have a use for it.
Correct.
But
people do. They seem to be doing very well.
Yeah.
Much like Lucid.
We're good.
Mm-hmm. I saw you touch it.
I did.
Check the quality.
I did check the quality. I was checking for manufacturing things. I'm looking at how they tooled them up and everything.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it.
There were a bunch of other press conferences today, but...
Anything good? We didn't see any.
No.
The Ubisoft one was just... I'm not a huge fan of Ubisoft games because they kind of have multi-tiers and microtransactions and things like that. Yeah. So I get...
Not kind of. It's like they're set up so that when you push the wrong button, like the store comes up. No joke.
It's not very fun advertising those games because it's just like, wait, is this which version is this? Is,
I hear you.
Yeah, and there was a PC gaming show one where they showed a bunch of PC games. But yeah,
we've been to that one I think last year or 2 years ago. I
mean, it was
2 years.
I think it was the 2016 one we went to. Yeah.
All right, so I think that's pretty much it for now. And tomorrow, of course, we got a very full day. I guess. I don't know. Do we have a full day?
We have, yeah, it's the first day of E3. We've got meetings.
I'm sure if it's a Shipwreck's track record, I'm sure you're fully booked.
We're pretty close. Pretty close. We have some time early in the morning to check things out, get the lay of the land.
To walk around and check out the esports pavilion?
Yeah, that's where we're heading first.
I'm going to compete.
Oh, you want to check out the Unreal Garden?
What is that?
It's the Unreal Garden. I don't know. It's basically the void that Sony left behind. It's this thing that they call the Unreal Garden.
Telling you, table tennis. We need to set up a table tennis area.
So do you think it was a mistake that Sony didn't come this year, or
for Sony? No, I mean for Sony, I'm sure they just said, hey, why spend? I don't know what they spend $5 million to come here.
It's probably more than that, but
$10 million. They said, and plus the cost of all the people and everything, like their people's time rather, just the disruption to the work. They're already winning. There's not much benefit really for them. I think if I was the ESA runs this, right?
Yeah.
If I'm the ESA, I would have like done whatever it took to get them to come. I would have really tried hard and not, I don't know what happened in the negotiation. If they could have helped them out somehow, I don't know, to make it more attractive for Sony. But certainly it hurts the show big time to not have Sony. Yeah.
What do you think about the future of E3? Do you think it's...
In
my opinion, I think the ESA should just start licensing it to a third party.
Absolutely.
Like ReedPop or something like that. You know what ReedPop
is? Yep, absolutely. No, I agree.
ReedPop is the company that runs all the PAXs, New York Comic Con, MCM London, a Star Wars celebration, like all the big things, basically.
Right. Yeah, I mean, obviously they know how to maximize.
Yeah.
I mean, it really depends what the goal of the show is and if the ESA even knows what their goal of the show is anymore, because they seem to change it every few years. They feel like they're doing it wrong.
They don't know what they want it to be. I don't know that they're doing it wrong. They just don't have the vision of what they want this to be. And that could come down to the publishers themselves wanting some mishmash of conference.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody would like to make money off of it. If the publishers could make money off it, and that would probably be a good way to get Sony to come back. A
couple of years ago, they started letting the booze sell stuff, you know.
That I thought was a great idea.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, there's a whole GameStop Funko Pop area where you buy the exclusive Funko Pops. And
right. So to answer your question, yes, I think that's exactly what they're going to do. I think they're going to outsource it to a company that knows how to put on a big show like this. And because they're probably leaving a lot of money on the table. So any money that's they're going to lose from having another company do it for them, they probably make more than that.
I also often wonder how expensive the booth spaces are at E3 compared to other shows.
I'm sure it's a lot cheaper than it was like 5 years ago, because just the lack of interest, and there's a lot of empty space now. And it seems like they're less demanding about who can have like a small booth these days. So,
but and then they also only have so many small booths. So I wonder if it's just like, why don't they maximize the small booth number?
I don't know. It's weird to me.
Yeah.
If I was them, I would have like a whole floor of those small booths, like Kensha Hall used to be. Just the vendors, people selling stuff.
Well, what I would really like is like at PAX West and stuff, there are people that are like, you know, small indie company, and they have their 4x6 with their two monitors and their indie game, and that's good enough. You know, if you have, you multiply that by 100, that's a lot of games to look at and stuff.
Yeah.
But the like indie companies don't come to E3. It used to be what would happen is Sony and Xbox would gift or like give them booth space to occupy. Like I remember in 2016, the guy that made Slime Rancher, he had his small little area.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I came up to him and was like, oh, this is a fun game. And he's like, you know, I'm a cheap ass gamer. And he's like, oh, I used to listen to CatCast when I used to have a commute. And then I gave him my stuff, and now whenever there's a new small Slime Rancher update or something like that, I just contact him. He's like, oh, here's some codes, you know? But Sony's not here, and Xbox, I think like Shipwreck was saying, like, they have some smaller stuff, but it's not on the E3 show floor
anymore. It's not on the show floor, and you need like an invitation, which yeah. I didn't have. So yeah, it's yeah, I see what you're saying. The lack of these big companies are actually hurting the smaller devs because they don't have a free ride to E3 anymore.
No. So I think like I said, I don't know how much booth space is. I don't know if it's what exactly, but there are still games, but people aren't coming. And people want to come, I think. It's just, I guess there's a high price to the admission to come compared to other conventions.
And the perception probably is that they're not getting a lot of value here because there's just not that much to see or do for compared to what they're paying.
Yeah.
So we'll see. They can probably these like a company like Reed could solve these problems for them. They've done this for a long. It was still a going ship. Ship went to the bathroom and came back, and we're still recording. No, we're having a good conversation about the future of E3. But I think it's over now.
Yeah.
So we'll be back tomorrow with more updates and whatnot. See ya. Thanks.
Pizza. Bye.
E3 pizza cutter.
Yeah, I'll put that up in an hour or so.
Cool. E3tza cover. Hashtag E3tza cover. You don't like the hashtag?
No.
You can come up with your own hashtag.
Hashtag E3 would work.
Okay.
Just fine.
That's fine.
People check that.
Okay. You don't think they're typing in
no.
E3, the number 3ZZA cutter?
No.
Hmm. Huh. Okay. Well, that's why.
Well, you're... just in case.
All right. Bye-bye. Wait, hold on. It's still going. It's still going because I have to unlock my phone. Now it's done.